This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Children and adolescents who require hospitalization for any length of time experience interruption of life and of their most normal and essential activity, school. But that doesn't quite have to happen. And here with more on this is Mary Ellen Michalenko. She's the OCM BOCES hospital teacher at Upstate's Golisano Children's Hospital. Welcome, Mary Ellen. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
So school, we all know, school is such an integral part, an essential part, really, of the lives of children and adolescents. Hospitalization has got to be terribly disruptive of that. But you have a program to address this, the hospital school. Tell us about it.
Well, the hospital school program started sometime in the early 1970s. Dr. Howard Weinberger, who was a pediatric physician at the time, knew that the disruption of school, of children's school, was also affecting their health.
Their ability to heal, perhaps?
Correct. Recovery. So he started to look into a program that would bring in a teacher to work with these children. At that time, it was done by a grant. He tried to get funding through the city school district, but many of our children come from all over the state, so that wasn't working. So then he partnered up with BOCES, OCM BOCES, which is the Board of Cooperative Educational Services, and he brought in a teacher full-time to work with children who were long-term, who were going to be in and out of the hospital, who needed... Their disruption of school was for an entire school year most of the time. So anyway, that's how the program began.
So what exactly does it look like now?
Oh, what it looks like now is far different from what it looked like then. Way back in the 1970s, the teacher at the time had school on a cart, and she would roll a cart from room to room. But you have to remember at that time, in the old building, we were on four or five different floors. So we were on 7H, we were on 4A, we were on 8O, and there was also children over at Krause, so she had to go over to Krause. So when I came, 1999, full-time here, the hospital provided a room. So I was able to have a schoolroom, small, but a room that I could put my materials in and that children could come to. Only one child at a time, but at least it was large enough. Now it's developed for the new Golisano Children's Hospital into a 20 by 40 room. At the time when the new hospital was being developed, Lukey Soul Foundation funded the money to have the schoolroom on the Golisano Children's Hospital. So I'm on the 11th floor with windows, with all types of technology provided again by Lukey Soul Foundation. We have a smart board, we have a computer center, we have room to probably hold four or five students at one time.
How does it exactly work, though, in terms of how do kids get involved in the program? And, mm-hmm. and do you see more than one child at a time? Is it run like a real classroom?
It's run like a real schoolroom. If there's no infectious disease, I can have many children in the schoolroom at the same time.
And it will be almost like the one old-fashioned one-room
schoolhouse. It is an old-fashioned schoolroom.
Mm-hmm. Because you have all kinds of ages.
We do. I am. We provide services K through 12. And again, our school districts go from Binghamton up to Potsdam, up to Messina. We have children from Watertown. We have children as far west of Utica, Copenhagen, as far to the west as Auburn and a little bit past that.
So how often are the classes held? I mean, is this a daily occurrence?
Oh, yes. I'm a full-time New York State certified teacher positioned here in the hospital. My schoolroom days usually go from about 7:30 to 3:30. That's what I say, but many times I'm here longer. And during Regents time or during the state testing, children have what we call testing over multiple days, so they can have their test at any time that they're feeling well. Because sometimes children are not feeling well at 9 to 3, and when the state tester have to be given out, they have to be given out on those days. So it varies, but normally I'm here. The schoolroom's open from about 8 to 3:30.
So what exactly, basically, are your goals? I mean, is it just kind of a holding pattern?
No.
Are you actually trying to advance kids through their curriculum?
Correct. The goal is to have the children re-enter their school where they should be. So when I get a child, I call the school, get in contact with the teacher, and with modern technology, between emails and faxes and scanning, they get their work, what they're doing that day, for their school. At the end of the school day, I can scan back all those materials to the teacher,
wow.
and she can make corrections and send it back the next day.
Wow.
Again, a child, for instance, who has cancer, who is going to be with us for the entire, basically, school year, in and out, we are down to a pattern. So this child, with our Staying Connected program, it's a long-distance learning program that we can connect directly into that child's classroom that day.
So a child in their own hospital room or hospital bed, theoretically, or in your classroom,
correct,
can participate in an actual classroom that, of their school district that's being held,
correct,
in real time.
Correct. So this morning, when I came in, I have a child who connects. He's a high school student, and he connects into his school. So the school scanned, and I printed off his materials for the classes that he's in right now. So he's in classes now from 8:23 until 10:57. Then he has a break, and then he's in his afternoon classes.
So he does all that long distance.
He does
distance
all that
learning.
Long distance learning. Correct.
So in that case, he's not necessarily being educated in your program per se, but your program is facilitating him continuing his education
absolutely
through his regular district.
And if he has problems with some of his classes, then afterwards we work on things. And it depends also on how he feels. There are some days where he can't connect, but the materials still come into me.
Why is this so important?
You know, the normality of children is going to school. They are thrown into a medical crisis where they have no control over what's going on. When they have control over their school, they know we anticipate them getting better. We anticipate, okay, we have to go through this. It's a medical crisis. You have to go through this. But at the end of the road, we want you to go back into school with your peers where you belong.
So in a sense, it projects some degree of hope.
Absolutely.
And also some normalcy,
yeah,
and this idea that there is a future.
Absolutely. And children will tend to stay in their room, especially older children. We want them out of their room. We want them out of their room, into the schoolroom, into something normal that they know.
And there's some, I would imagine, some social interaction that
absolutely
goes on as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Mary Ellen Michalenko, and we're talking about hospital school, and that's at the Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. So specifically, overall, how would you state what your goals are in a general sense?
My goals are to always keep any of the children, any of the pediatric patients that I have, on par with what they are doing in school, so they can re-enter back into their school. Also, to help them with any of their testing, the state testing that needs to be done. Again, for older children who are diagnosed and they are in 11th grade and have four Regences in front of them, and let's say they come in February, this is a major concern to them. So we say, look, you can continue the work that you need to do. You can have the testing here in the hospital. Does it matter?
You know, that you're hospitalized.
You're here, and we can give you those tests, and you can complete
what
you need to do.
It's a safe haven, it
absolutely
sounds to me.
Oh, yeah.
And that must really have a very strong impact on their overall sense of peace and less anxiety, not only surrounding hospitalization, but the fact that they're not missing and falling behind.
Exactly. And also, now I spoke a little bit about the older children. Well, the younger children come into the schoolroom because they like to go to school. We actually had one child who did his first day of school coming into the schoolroom in September, and the parents took photos, and it was a big day for him. He had his new backpack, and
wow.
And this is a child who was able to do that first day of school here in the hospital.
That's really significant.
Mm-hmm.
That must give you a great deal of satisfaction to participate in that. Special skills, if any? I know you're a certified teacher, but As I alluded to earlier, you're almost like the old-fashioned one-room school teacher because you have this vast array of ages and levels that you're addressing. So what special skills, if any, do you think you need to bring to this kind of a task?
Well, I have developed those skills over the year. I started this program, I started this journey of hospital teaching with a friend of mine whose daughter was ill. In 1995, I was a stay-at-home mom with my children, and her daughter got ill, and it was in a Catholic school, and she asked if I would work with her, and I said, no problem. So I started to do schoolwork with her at home, and then she was at Krause at the time. It's when we were all over the different children, and I remember my first time coming up to the hospital and going into the room and seeing all the tubes and actually getting lightheaded going, oh, my goodness. you know, can I do this? And then there was a woman who was here for 30 years. And after about 2 or 3 years, I think she was getting ready to retire. And I had developed relationships with different people.
But you were already a teacher.
I was a teacher. Oh, yes. I was a teacher. And her position, she retired, and I applied for the position, and I got it. And that's how I started my journey.
But when you experience this here, I mean, do you think there are any special things that are required for you as a teacher in terms of helping these types of students?
Luckily, when I started my position, we have an association of National Hospital School Teachers. It's called the AECMN.
Wow.
The Association for the Education of Children in Medical Needs. And I'm a member of that. I was also a board member for many years. So we meet once a year, all hospital school teachers in one different hospital. So I've been out to different ones in Palo Alto. I've been down to Children's Hospital down in Florida. So it gives the networking that I need with other people who do the same thing that I do. There are hundreds of hospital school teachers throughout the country. In a pediatric hospital, just like ours, children are there for long periods of time. They need to be educated.
So in terms of the specialized skills, though, I mean, would you say that it requires, I mean, you have to be able to teach very young children, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to have high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what kind of a challenge is that for you?
It's a challenge, but as I said, with the internet now and all types of technology that we have, it flows a lot easier than it has in the past.
And you had students for a number of years?
I have had students many times. Yes, I've had students that I held as babies and who are now in high school. Because of their disease, it brings them back a lot. Many of our cystic fibrosis children, many of our cancer children who have gone out of remission, who have come back. I also have children who have been in motor vehicle accidents, and I have seen them. One of the fun things is to see children in the neighborhood who will come up to me and say, "Hi, Mrs. Michalenko, do you remember me?" And I have to look and say, "I do remember you."
Wow.
Yeah, so that's
interesting. So mm-hmm. it's not really just on a short-term basis. You really do develop relationships over time.
I do.
It must be very gratifying.
It is. I just saw a girl yesterday who stopped by. She was 18 years old, and she was telling me about her schoolwork and how well she was doing.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful program, mm-hmm. and one that I think the hospital must feel very proud of, and you must feel very proud of, and obviously doing something very, very important for these kids.
It is. It's a wonderful program, and the hospital helps, provides through the foundation, also through the advocates, and also through Lukey Soul Foundation provides any of the materials that I need, because we have to hand give the children anything that we have for infectious disease. So pencils, pens, all that kind of stuff goes. If you touch it, you take it.
I see. So there's really a lot of other requirements other than in a so-called normal school setting.
Yes, there is.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Very interesting, and it sounds like very, very wonderful work. Thanks for sharing it with us. My guest has been Mary Ellen Michalenko. She's the OCM BOCES hospital teacher at Upstate's Golisano Children's Hospital. Once again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.